Hey guys, how are you doing today? I love you, you're my family, and I just want to bless you. If it's okay with you, I want to read something that I wrote down in 2017, 2018, three or four years ago. It says, and this is something I received in prayer, something God kept talking to me about. It says, "The Lord shall stir the blowing winds of his change." If you read the Bible, you know, blowing winds, winds represent angels, his hand moving. So the Lord's hand shall move the angels for his change. It will take place in the church. This is a very focused on mainly the spiritual aspect of what was going to come after 2018 and 2019. When I wrote this, when he told me, it made no sense to me. So that's how it is. And the Holy Spirit is partnering with the angels of God. This unity in the Spirit, in it, every building of fellowship and worship, what we men call the house of God, all shall have a strong stirring upon them by the angels. This will not be something that will dissipate. God says his angels will stir change toward a true life of living. We will live, he will mold us closer to his nature, our character, our heart, our thoughts, in transforming us. Many will come in saying, "I think this is all way too much. Who can possibly handle the pressures that are happening around us now?" Such a powerful entity. But those, my beloved, who are united with my Holy Spirit for the truth, will excitedly step into this stirring, into this movement, like they're not even affected by the tangible presence of this imposing power. It will be like they are covered with a thick cloud of glory, and the Lord Jesus' presence goes with them. The sealed promise upon my beloved will empower them to approach these stirrings of the angels. There from this move of God, the world will hear the noise of a moving, the noise of feet marching as sounds of rivers of living water. I never thought I'd see that, by the way. Not in 2018. Millions of people gathered together, marching together in one cause, the same reason, in unity. Never thought I'd see that. No. Oh, Lord Jesus, never thought I'd see that. A noise of feet marching as a sound of rivers of living water. This is the time to consider even the woman at the well in the days of Jesus. Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you would ask of me, and I'd give you water to drink, that you would never thirst again." In amazement of this great revelation of God's love, this woman runs in hunger and in thirst and in desperation, not to get, but to give. She runs to express and expose what she had just encountered. She goes to reveal others, Christ to others. She expressed her desire and her need for this living water. We need to thirst for the one who can quench our every thirst, not just in the natural, but the eternal. The Lord says, "My marching rivers will go out, not looking back to the buildings once blessed by men. For my people are my buildings, and I shall remove the four walls of the church, so that my church will march as one, carrying my glory, my truth, moving as God's army of living water." And he says, you ask why? Why an army of living water? What about this living river? He says, "Beloved, my river army takes the impure and the evil in this world and will overthrow it." Not conquer it, overthrow it. "Will remove it for the sake of those in God. In this, the church, not the building, the people, us, must fully step into the Father's genuine eternal call out of the temple, that all would repent and be baptized with the Holy Spirit, yes, and fire. I say this to inform you that the building titled by men as church will not be where my glory will move and dwell in this change. Now my change will live in entirety with my whole body, the temple of the Holy Spirit." Now in 2018, I had no clue, and I've got another one he gave me in 2019 where he talks to me about, well, he talked to me for a while, but he spoke to me about the plague, this plague, and I didn't understand what it meant. I barely knew what the word plague meant, to be honest with you. But he kept telling me not about the plague. He said, "Beware of the sting that follows the plague." And I think we all know what that means. I mean, there wasn't really much of a plague until COVID-19 vaccine came in. And the people that are still alive, thank God they're still alive. I pray that their body does its very best, like God intended, for them to completely eradicate everything that comes with this vaccine. But I also recognize that there are many that don't turn to God, and that they will have to watch many die in order for them to repent and turn from their ways and go back to God. Because it's not the first time in history that any of this has happened. At all, whether it be nations poisoned, whether it be surrounding with treachery and tyranny, none of this is new. The only thing, personally, I think that's new that in my mind would be millions and millions of people marching together for the truth, for the welfare of themselves and the ones around them. Marching to expose and overthrow evil. That is mind-boggling, family. But in the second letter, he told me also, and this is really what I've been waiting on. I'm waiting because he didn't tell me that Trump would win the election. What he told me, if you want to bring that part up, what God told me was, yes, Trump will win in 2020, but he will lose in 2020. And that didn't make sense to me at first. And then after November, I said, okay, what are you saying, God? Is he going to be our president or is he not going to be our president? And he said, it will not be when you suppose it will be, but he will again be your president. And he told me that it will be in a landslide victory, even as predicted before. We had the one in 2020. It was amazing. You guys did great going out and voting. I'm expecting us to do it again. Even though, personally, I got too many questions for me to be considering who I'm voting for. Beside the point. The Lord told me, and I'm waiting on this one thing. He said, and I wrote it down when he was talking to me about it. He said something about the Supreme Court. He said that there will be a win, and then in quotation marks, hyphened in, a D behind the win. So it would be wind, but win in front of the wind. And I still don't understand that, other than there's a win, and the angelic realm's going to bring it to pass. Well, be honest with you, there's only two agendas I know that's been on God's heart for the past forever. And that's stopping the murder of innocent babies who cannot speak for themselves, born or unborn, to end this child ritual sacrifice that's been happening in secret all across the world, and to stop human trafficking. As far as I know, that's my God's, my papa's biggest goal. Other than that, He wants you to know his son Jesus, me to know his son Jesus, and he wants us to get just filled to overflow like we were a cup getting poured in with the Holy Spirit. Which here's your thought. Holy Spirit, who is he in the Trinity? Everybody's got their questions. Here's my question. You remember Old Testament? What was his name? Abel? Abel, his brother killed him. God said, Cain, what are you doing? Where's your brother? Cain said, I don't know, I'm not my brother's keeper. God said, then why do I hear his blood calling out from the ground? Now, the scripture says that Jesus Christ laid down his life for all that would call upon him, that they would be saved. And it says in there that we were cleansed by his blood. It says that we were reconciled unto God through the blood of Jesus. So my question is, why can't the Holy Spirit be the voice of the blood of Jesus? After all, he's like Jesus. He's a DNA copy of Jesus Christ. But God's goal, other than those things, is to blast you and me with his presence. Everybody that's been stoned on drugs, drunk with wine, and by the way, wine is for the pain. If you're drinking it any other reason, then you've been brainwashed by the world to think that it's recreational. And truth is, you want recreational, go get drunk in the Holy Ghost. And you do that by worshiping God. Boy, you come out of that thing so tore up, it's fun. Praise God, it's fun. I gamble in one area. I tell most people that's never been in his presence, I bet you can't stay in there for more than 10 minutes. It's pretty tough just because it's intense. Anyway, I don't know what this one word means. Upon the when, duh, of the Supreme Court. I'd like to believe that that's children, that abortion laws, that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. That'd be amazing. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what it is. And when the headline comes, I'll know. Because it'll be a win of the Supreme Court. And it'll be a big headline. Giant. But after that is the part I need you to be aware of. That there will be, while everybody's focused on the southern border, that there will be an attack on American soil. Not just by Chinese Communist Party. It will be by the United Kingdom, who are already being invited to the United States by Democrat parties. And Canada doesn't have a real army. What they have is land that's been bought by China that's being used by the UK and the Chinese army. So there'll be attack on the northern states. The Lord told me that we will win, but we don't say we're going to win and not show up. We show up for the battle, ready to praise and ready to give our life for the next generation. But we will win. Be confident that you're not fighting to keep your life. You're fighting to win a battle that you've already been pre-exposed to victory in. Jesus has already done this. He's guaranteed it. We can get it sooner or later, depending on how quick we as a people in the likeness of God move. We can do it slow and take 20 years for him to fulfill his word. Or we can do it obedient and get done fast so we can move with the movings of the Holy Spirit from agenda to agenda to fulfill the desires that God has for us and for those around us. Wouldn't it be awesome if we obeyed God in every moment and after 15 years we realized that all of our obedience super blessed everyone around us and we didn't even notice it for 20 years? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think so. But still not the issue. If you figure this one out, let me know. Like I said, winds in the Bible often means angels. When, quotation D, have no clue. But I do know that when it happens, there will be a silence in the nations. And that bothers me because what could be so extreme in our court systems in America that it would cause a silencing to the world? Not to the body of Christ, to the world. The world's never shut up as long as I've been alive, and I'm 30-something years old. So, it'll be a rarity. But he said, when the world goes silent, it is up to you, my warriors, my lions, my kings and queens in the kingdom, my priests, my laborers, my teachers and evangelists, my prophets, to speak out loudly like lions roaring, not in the wilderness, before a tribe. That we are to declare that the Lord is calling us to a new constitutional America. To an America that's constitutional gets a New Testament facelift. Not a new world facelift, but a New Testament constitution. One that can have the laws and the governance of Jesus Christ being the head over our governance, like it's supposed to be according to Romans 13. I mean, how could we say that he won't come back until he fulfills all of the scripture, and we've never once had nations that were letting him be the head to their life? Just a question. Just saying. But let me get this over with. We're going to have a war. It's going to be rough. We the people must continue to march as an army of living water. Living water. That means fluent. Going along, not with the flow of things, but with the flow of the body that you move with. You're moving with the kingdom of God. You're moving as an army in the kingdom of God. You are marching together to create change, to create difference. And the only way we can do that is if first we align ourselves with the kingdom of God, which is a rushing mighty river, because the change that comes with this kingdom is extreme. And with those that have answered his call. On January 6th, I answered a call by the Holy Spirit to go to Washington, D.C., not to do the other stuff, but to stand there with another 1 million to 2 million people, stomp the ground, to shake the towers, and to declare to our government that we will not bow to them, but we will only bow to Jesus. I was there for that. Well, there's coming more. It's going to happen. Are you ready to step up into your position in this new government? Because it can't be run by itself, and we're darn sure not going to let suits and ties keep running our country when they're not the ones that suffer from decisions made in this country. So we need to know that we are ready, that if a war, and when a war, it's coming, does happen on American soil, that we not only step up and meet the challenge, whether our army does or not, but we also step up and meet the call for a new kingdom in the United States of America, a new republic. So I just want to thank you guys for dealing with me, and I want to let you know, this is coming. There will be a win in the Supreme Court. It will be something that has been promoted by the angelic realm. There will be a battle that follows afterward. You and I, we will win. But then we must be willing to step up, to get into the positions that we want to blame other people for not having it right, and let God teach us how to make it right. Because that's the way of Christ. That's the New Testament way. So let me pray for this, because this is big. Father, I thank you that you are the one who gives us word. You are the one who knows all things, past, present, and future. You are the one that gives us a still heart. And I learned today, God, that you are the one that can give us an undivided heart. And I ask for that right now, God, in Jesus' name, that you would pour out upon us in this movement a heart that is united as one force, like that we would be as in James 1, Father, that we would not waver, but that we would in faith believe, and that we would receive that which we are believing for. God, I thank you that you take those torn souls that this broken world has created and all of my family members, and that you don't stitch it together. God, you're not into mending broken hearts. You're into giving new hearts. So I thank you right now that you do that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, give us a new heart right now. A heart that is not covered in trauma and turmoil and burden and unforgiveness and worry, but a heart that is tender like the layers of skin on our hand. Jesus, I thank you that you have prepared us for the days ahead.
I thank you that you're not going to come back until all of the word is fulfilled. So I'm in grateful praise that I can look forward to a day. We can look forward to a day where we, as the body of Christ, not a building, but as members moving, as carriers of the goodness of God, would make the enemies of God the footstool of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have here on this earth to bust up devils, to call out liars, to call out wickedness, to confront and not just overcome evil, but to overthrow evil, to make it to where not only does evil get defeated, but it doesn't stand a chance to even represent itself again in the future. God, I thank you that whatever a new constitutional America looks like, that you are the one that gives us the divine wording and phrasing and language, God, so that the interpretation that we have in this nation would always be the interpretation of Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, is the head and we are the body, to a united movement of righteousness, peace, and joy in your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you sit on a throne that is made, built of justice and judgment and righteousness. And I thank you, Father, that you're not delayed in enacting justice. The truth is, Father, is that many of us are still not willing to let you handle the case. We're still trying to delegate. And you said in your word, the only way that you can handle a case is if we do not repay evil for evil, but instead we do good deeds to them that persecute us and cause us evil, because it is like heaping coals of fire, which is also Holy Spirit, upon their head, which is also their soul, which is judgment from you, Father. If we will allow you to work by blessing people in our pain and letting that pain, that discomfort, increase our character, thank you, Father, that when that happens, that when our character is increased and when we learn to act with an attitude of kindness to those that persecute and hate us, that we immediately give you their case, that you do not delay in bringing justice for us, because we do not walk in evil, but we walk in truth. Father, I thank you that every lie that the enemy has put upon my family, every propaganda piece that has shifted their thinking so that they cannot see you and experience you without a tape measure mentality, I break the tape measure right now. I thank you, Father, that you pull the limitations off of their life. You pull out the measurements of my family's life to where the line ends, and you keep exposing yourself. God, I thank you for all 500 witnesses to Jesus walking and teaching and preaching after his resurrection, and then another 2,000 after that. And I thank you for him teaching Paul and Peter and John. And I thank you for the revelation to John. And I thank you, Father, that you are still doing that today. I thank you, Father, that you still heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And I thank you, Father, that we as believers still heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. I thank you, Father, that the vaccine, I thank you that right now anyone that would turn to Jesus Christ like they did in the time of Moses when he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, all those that beheld it were healed from the poison that they had been stung with. So we lift up Jesus, God. Right now, we lift you high, Jesus. And we ask everyone to look upon the sacrifice, to look upon the tree that Jesus Christ hung upon, and the forgiveness that he gave, and the blood that was spilled out of his side and was poured upon the throne room for us. I thank you, Father, that you right now are exposing Jesus as reality. I thank you, Father, that you right now are destroying limitations, destroying weaknesses, and you are reestablishing borders in my family's hearts and minds. That you are reestablishing the commandments, the markers that keep us away from the explosive attacks of the enemy. And I thank you, Father, that right now I send healing out. Whoever it is, whatever it is, if you've got a cold, if you've got a headache, if you've got back pains, leg pains, knee pains, something that can't ever be healed, cancer, something that the doctors keep giving you stuff for and then finding more stuff for, any of it, right now, I'm sending you be healed in Jesus' name. And I'm so confident that whoever you are, whatever you're doing, check what it is. Actually, put pressure on it. Put strain on it. And you probably won't, but you never know. When you notice the absence of pain, let me know. But most don't notice the absence of pain. So I'll encourage you, even though I keep saying, if you get your blessing, be a blessing. Today, if you notice the absence of pain, tell people. You will be a blessing. You will let people know that the impossible is possible. That whatever the world said was impossible, God said was possible. That whatever your doctor said couldn't be fixed, God just suddenly fixed. Go tell your doctor. It'd be awesome. I love you, family. Remember, you are a blessing as long as you can stay in His blessing. It's not hard. He loves you. Worship Him. Pray. And He will make you a blessing to your world. That's the surroundings you're in. I love you, family. Sorry for the long rant. Have a blessed time.